Senator Poggemiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Pastor John Stiles from the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Oakdale.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation to pray before the Senate today. Chuck Wieger as well from our district, want to thank you for the invitation. It is an honor, and I would like to dedicate this prayer in memory of my grandfather, George Sanborn, Freeborn County. Would you pray with me? Oh God, I ask your blessing today on this assembly. As these men and women gather to represent the people of this state, bless their decision-making, give them a sense of joy and anticipation for the day's work, as well as the strengths and support they will need to accomplish the tasks before them. Let justice and fairness be their guide, and may the work accomplished in these hallowed halls bring forth not just a better Minnesota, but also an example to our nation and the world of what a just and good society can be. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good to be here. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, hey, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Poggemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. Next order of business is executive and official communications. We're making note of those are on today's agenda. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. Without objection, we will adopt these motions and resolutions. As one motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Limmer, did you wish to withdraw a bill, or this is your bill, Senator Limmer?
Mr. President, yes, that's my bill, and I wish it to be returned to the author.
Okay, on the Limmer motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a number of resolutions. They will all be referred to the Rules Committee. There is one to be read at the desk.
Senators Torres Ray, Moi, Olson M, Rest, and Poggemiller introduce Senate Resolution Number 141, a Senate resolution expressing the sense of the Senate that the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, the Council on Black Minnesotans, the Chicano Latino Affairs Council, the Ombudsman for Asian Pacific Families, etc.
Okay. Without objection, all of these resolutions, including the one that was read at the desk, will be sent to the Rules Committee. Next order of business is Senate bill introductions. They're on today's remaining on motions. Senate bill introductions are on today's desk. There's one change on page 8. Senate File 2593 will be referred to the Education Committee. First reading of Senate bills. What do we...
Mr.
Senate, that takes care of our work, Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to move a 5 to 10 minute recess for just to allow the majority caucus to just briefly discuss the upcoming legacy bill. Senator Senjum, apparently you've already done it in your caucus.
So Senator Senjum, is that?
It'll be very brief if it's perhaps as little as 5 minutes. Maybe
back,
10.
Back here?
In the retiring room, yes.
Okay.
And then the plan, Mr. President, members, would be to take up the discussion on that conference committee report. We're waiting for it to come over from the House. And if it's here, by the time we're done with our discussion, we'll vote. If it is not, we will recess and allow the committees to start working, and then we'll come back and vote sometime this afternoon to be, but try to get the discussion out of the way so that we can be home for Valentine's Day.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, Senate Republicans, I think we'll just stay in the chamber. We've had bill review on this, so we'll stay in the chamber. If there's any questions, we can talk about it.
Okay. The motion is for a brief recess. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Pogamiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absentee members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, are there messages from the House?
Yeah. Remaining on motions and resolution, we'll revert to a message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 2285 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 2285, a bill for an act relating to constitutional amendments, proposing an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution, Article 11, increasing the sales tax by 3/8 of 1% and dedicating the receipts for natural resource and cultural heritage purposes. House File 2285 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2285 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
A discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. We're just the conference.
You made the motion, but we don't have a vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller, I guess before that, you can explain.
Mr. President, this is the Constitution Amendment on dedicated funding for clean water, conservation, and culture. And do you want to adopt the report first and then have the discussion? No?
Before we vote?
Yeah, we should ask for a discussion.
Okay, Mr. President, then.
Discussion on the motion to adopt the...
The conference committee report.
Conference committee report.
Mr. President.
Are you everybody paying attention here? This is the discussion to adopt the conference committee report. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, members, just briefly.
Very important piece of legislation here. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, members, this is the conference committee report on dedicated funding. Many people have worked passionately over the years on this issue, across party lines. Senator Bob Lessard, Senator Dallas Sams, Senator Frederickson, Senator Parasol, Senator Cohen, Senator Anderson, Senator Chaudhry, to name a few. This bill passed with this historic agreement by 52-14 vote last session. In the conference committee, two basic changes to the bill that passed the Senate 52-14 are present. The first is more money has been dedicated to clean water than in the first bill. And in this bill, there's a shift from, I think, about 24% of culture and arts to little less than 20%, 19.75%. So clean water is even more the emphasis of this constitutional amendment than it was when it left the Senate. Secondly, in the bill that passed the Senate, there was a citizens' council for distribution, advising on distribution of the conservation dollars, the hunting and fishing dollars. The House, in coming to an agreement, suggested that we did not have to do that now, that there could be further discussion of that. I believe the Senate position that we voted on is a really good position. I believe many members in the Senate would like to see that position become law. But the House is correct. It does not have to be part of the constitutional amendment. And it's my guess that there will be a discussion this session, separately from the constitutional amendment, on the issue of that citizens' council. And I believe that will be a good discussion, and hopefully we will be able to have the House agree to a way to approach that that brings solidarity regarding how to do this for the whole state. We have an opportunity today to make some history and create a legacy for Minnesota. We are asking Minnesotans to make a sacrifice, to contribute to dedicated funding by raising the sales tax, to ensure that Minnesota and our children and grandchildren will have clean water, will have the ability to hunt and fish with quality resources, and to protect our cultural legacy and to promote arts education and arts in our state for our children, for generations to come. Protecting water, protecting land and natural resources, preserving our way of life for future generations, that brings Minnesotans together. That unifies Minnesotans. I'm fully aware that some members of the legislature would prefer to just do this without a constitutional amendment. And that is a tough decision. But I think the key point here is this is about a legacy. This is about protecting these dollars for these purposes only. And that's why you need a constitutional amendment. It would be, as has been editorialized, it probably would be better if we just went ahead and did this. If we just stood here, raised the dollars necessary, and put nearly $300 million into water and conservation in Minnesota. But we haven't done it. That's the problem. We just simply have not done it. We know we should do it. We know we need to do it. But we haven't. That's why a constitutional amendment. This is about the future. This is about protecting our way of life that we grew up in as young Minnesotans, and protecting that way of life for our children and grandchildren. I would hope that we could send a strong message to the citizens today that this is the right thing to do for Minnesota.
Further discussion, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'm not delusional. I realize that this bill is going to pass today, but as the chair of your tax committee, I feel some obligation to stand up and share some concerns that I have with you about it. You know, this issue has been around the legislature since, I believe, Senator Lessard first brought it here in 1999. And initially it was referred to as the Missouri Plan. And it was a 1/8% increase in the sales tax for outdoors. Now there's a reason that since 1999 the legislature hasn't passed this. And there's a reason we haven't put it on the ballot. It's not good tax policy, members. It's not good tax policy, and it's not good budgeting policy. The National Conference of State Legislatures, you know, we all inside baseball here, we refer to them as the NCSL, has published some principles of what they call a high-quality revenue state tax system. And if I could just share with you a couple things that the NCSL thinks makes for a good, high-quality revenue system for a state. One of the components is that a tax system treats individuals equitably, and the minimum requirements of an equitable system are that it imposes similar tax burdens on people in similar circumstances, that it minimizes regressivity, and that it minimizes taxes on low-income individuals. And they go on further in their principles to say that a high-quality revenue system minimizes the use of tax earmarking, which is the practice of designating a particular revenue source for a specific expenditure. Further, that earmarking often imposes rigidities into the budgeting system that do not permit flexible allocations of general revenue among competing uses. When earmarking is used, they should be a direct link between the recipient of the funds and the earmarked revenue source. Generally, earmarking should not be used for general expenditures. That's the advice of our larger umbrella of legislative bodies. So we know the matter of policy of locking up dedicated accounts, but and I spoke at great length on that last year when we talked about this issue being in front of us. But there's the additional issue that causes me even more concern. And it's the regressive nature of sales taxes. So I had my staff take a look so that I don't misspeak about what a regressive tax is. I had my tax staff do a little research into what some definitions of what a regressive tax is. And I'd just like to share two with you. The term is generally used to refer to any tax system that favors the rich at the expense of the poor. A regressive tax, such as a sales tax, that applies equally to every purchaser, but which results in taking a larger percentage of income from the low-income person than from the high-income person. Members, that's a regressive tax, the sales tax. You know, many people have come to me the last few days and said, you know, Senator, you're thinking about the idea of running for governor. And maybe you'd be wise to change your position on this issue, because a whole bunch of groups are going to score this vote, and they're going to have scorecards, and it's going to create some problems for you as you try to work through the process of trying to get the party endorsement for governor. And I've thought about that. But I absolutely refuse to stand here today and compromise on my core beliefs of progressive taxation. And taxation needs to be fair. And it shouldn't disproportionately fall as a heavy burden on low-income people. You know, we tried to fix this bill last year in the Tax Committee. I think Senator Marty had the amendment to make this tax in this bill an income tax surcharge. Members, that would be a progressive way to do this that wouldn't unduly burden low-income people. But it failed. Our effort in the Tax Committee failed. And it failed on a bipartisan basis. And let me tell you why. Even though every person on that Tax Committee knew that it was the better policy, it failed because the sales tax polls better. Because the opportunity to pass this is improved if you do it on the sales tax. It's made more difficult to pass, according to the polls, if you do it on the income tax. But members, this is bad tax policy that could have been made better. And we tried to do that in the Tax Committee last year, but we're not successful. And for me, it kind of begs the question, are we so hungry for new revenue, so hungry for new spending, that we're actually willing to compromise our core beliefs on fair taxation? We'll compromise that if we think it creates a little better opportunity to get some additional money. I'm just not willing to do that today. You know, there's going to be a whole number of scorecards come out on this. And this isn't small, members. I realize there's little percentages in here that, you know, we can make things look small by calling them percentages of things. But this is a 5.75% increase in the state sales tax. This isn't small. A 5.75% increase in the state sales tax. Now, let me tell you why that's problematic. There's a whole lot of people in this state that aren't going to publish a scorecard. Let me tell you who some of them are. You know that young college student that's trying to get an education, trying to get a skill set developed that someday they can become a productive member of society, needs a new laptop. And we know they're already incurring mountains of debt to secure their higher education. And now we're going to charge them an extra 5.75% on the sales tax on their new laptop. You know, we all know what's going on in this economy relative to employment. We all know people that are unemployed. Most of us know people whose unemployment have run out. And what's going to happen to that unemployed person who needs new tires on the car? And when they go to buy those tires, now their sales tax bill is going to go up by 5.75% because of this bill. And how about the elderly couple on a fixed income who this summer might need a new roof on the house? And now we're going to raise the sales tax on all of those materials who have been going up a lot already because of the price of oil. Now we're going to raise the sales tax on their new roof by 5.75%. You know, there's no question that there are areas of the budget that are underfunded. And you can make a darn good argument for everything in this bill that the legislature and the administration haven't adequately funded these areas of the budget. And that makes this a pretty easy green vote. Pretty easy. And it made even easier by the fact that you can go home and say, well, I just voted to let the people decide. Pretty easy green vote. But I would argue, I can remember my dad telling me, who was 87, by the way, last Friday. Happy birthday, Dad. I can remember him telling me when I was very young, and it always kind of stuck with me as kind of one of my guiding principles, that there just is no good reason to do the wrong thing. And raising the sales tax for whatever use we're going to use it for is doing the wrong thing for low-income people. This bill could have been a lot better. You know, we know about all the unmet needs that the state has. We're going to hear a lot this session about the unmet needs for roads and the unmet needs for transit. And we're going to hear plenty more about escalating property taxes and the impact that that's having on the citizens of our state. And I'll predict today that we're probably not going to do anything about escalating property taxes, because if somehow we do find some money, the temptation to spend it on all of these unmet needs is going to win out. And property taxes are going to continue to go up because we do have a lot of unmet needs. You know, I think, I mean, I'm not much of a gambler, but I would bet you that I like to play outside as well as anybody in this chamber. And fortunately, I did that with my boys when they were very young, and it's something we still do today that I hope if I get out of here, we're going to do this weekend. And I think if you go to my office, you'll see when you walk in, this guy must like to play outside. And if you can find somehow registrations on toys over at the DNR, you'll find out that I've probably got a screen full of them that will tell you that I love to play outside. And I understand as well as anybody that our outdoors isn't funded to the degree that I'd like to have it funded at. But let me just close in saying, I think you need to consider the cumulative impact of this session, the cumulative impact of this session on low-income citizens of our state. This is the first volley. Soon, we're going to vote here to raise the gas tax, another regressive tax. Can't argue there's not need. We all know that there's need. And to Senator Murphy's credit, he's trying to find some way in that bill to build in some kind of a tax credit to try and help low-income people who are disproportionately going to share that burden. And Senator Murphy, I thank you for that. And we all know we've got unmet transit needs in the metropolitan area. We've got, I mean, I can tell. I've been here 14 years. I can see the difference in congestion and trying to drive in here every morning. So we're going to propose to raise the sales tax again, you know, probably by another 0.5%. Members, all I'm saying as your tax chair is you need to reflect on, as we move through this session, the cumulative impact of this session, what it's going, the burden it's going to put on our low-income citizens, our unemployed citizens, our elderly people on fixed incomes. We are making our tax system this session significantly, not a little bit, significantly more regressive than it is today. And this is going to pass, but as we move forward, I just want you to think about that, because I don't think any of us came here to do that. So I think from time to time, it's a good idea, you know, we get kind of wrapped up in the good things we want to do, and sometimes I think it's pretty easy to forget, you know, we get so hungry for the money that we're willing to take it whatever way is easiest to take it, even when the burden falls on people that we really don't want to put it on. So members, just think about that as we move through this session, about the cumulative impact of this session is going to have in an economy that's really, really struggling, and citizens that are really, really struggling. And just give that some thought as we move forward.
Further discussion? Senator Skoyp.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'm slow to rise to speak in opposition to this, because many of the projects that would be funded with this proposed tax increase, I would support if they were being done through the normal mechanisms of the legislative process, where we bring a bill forward, has a tax, a revenue, and you expend it on these needed things. But this is the wrong mechanism for us to use, in my opinion, as we try to address the needs of this state. It doesn't seem right to me that we should be using the Constitution of Minnesota to do initiatives and funding initiatives for important issues. You know, last year, Senator Marty had an amendment on this floor, which many of you supported. And I'm not going to revisit all the arguments that he made at that time, but they're all still valid. And we should take all of that into consideration as we're moving or proposing to move this forward. It just seems to me that this is not the direction that Minnesotans expect us to take. They expect us to step forward, do what the legislature should do, pass a revenue bill, fund the programs that are important to Minnesotans, and send it to the governor for his signature. That's the process that we have used in the past. But we're moving away from that. We're going to fund initiatives now with constitutional amendments. We fund our schools with voter-approved referendums because we're unable to do that important education funding legislatively. But let's not look quite so short-term on this. These are important changes that are going on, and we need to take a little longer-term view and know that Minnesotans are going to ask us to do what the legislature has always done, and that's to have debate, vote for initiatives, and send these bills to the governor for his signature or veto. So it's the wrong mechanism, and it's also the wrong time. Over the years, as I listened to the debate on this constitutional amendment, I've heard time and time again that we need to do this now while we have resources. We need to do this now so it doesn't have to compete with education and nursing home funding and all the other important things that Minnesotans and the legislature in Minnesota has to deal with. And you know, we are in a recession, and I don't think it's going to go away real quick. And this proposed tax would go into effect after this November election. Do you think we'll be out of this recession? I listened to Tom Stinson talk. He said, well, the federal economic stimulus perhaps will help around the fall, but by next January, when we're going to be coming back into session to deal with the budget, we're looking at another little softening. And is this our top priority that we're going to have in Minnesota? Should we do something before we do this to deal with the deficit? Should we do something before we do this to strengthen our economy, to strengthen our workforce, to do what we need to do to make Minnesota strong for the long term? Not that this isn't important. It's just that, is it our top priority? You know, as I stand here, I wonder if we can think and consider changing to the Constitution of the state of Minnesota for funding problems. It's the wrong mechanism, it's the wrong time, and I urge you not to support this initiative. Thank you.
Senator Ortman and Senator Marty.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think Minnesotans are asking, I know I'm asking, why is this the first business of the legislature this year? I know we passed this bill last year and it never made it into law. Never made it. But why is this the priority? Since we voted on this bill, tens of thousands of families have lost their homes in Minnesota to foreclosures. Since we voted on this bill last time, tens of thousands of families have lost critical income. They've lost their jobs. We have elderly citizens that cannot afford their prescription drugs, and they're faced with inflation on fixed incomes, limited pensions, limited Social Security funds. The federal government, in a bipartisan fashion, the president, Nancy Pelosi, Democrats, Republicans, all gathered together, worked hard to pass relief to families. They're sending money back to spur the economy. We're in recession. We're a couple weeks away from the next economic forecast. We know we are in a deficit, and we are going to ask poor, unemployed, and elderly Minnesotans to find more money out of their budgets to subsidize arts programs and trails and zoos. We all like those things. I care about the environment. I got to go snowshoeing a couple weeks ago. It was fabulous. But we're missing the point here. I think Minnesotans out there are wondering, what are they doing in St. Paul? The economy is near crisis. And we're going to talk about subsidizing the arts programs. Think about the elderly gentleman in Duluth in his home. Been there for many years, paid for the schools, paid for the roads, paid for city government, for police and fire, and now can't pay for the prescription drugs. And we're going to ask him to find more money to subsidize these fancy programs that are paid for out of St. Paul. The mom in Minneapolis with two kids and one on the way, and she's got to pay taxes on the cleaning supplies for her apartment. We're going to raise the taxes on her. We're going to ask her to find a way to pay more. The family in Hopkins that's trying to save for college that just lost one of their vital forms of income through a position that they lost, they're going to try and buy a computer with the federal dollars that get sent to them so that they can look for scholarships for their kids or look for new jobs. And we're going to tax the money that the federal government sends to help our state's economy. That's the first thing we're going to do. And the governor, let's just be really clear, will never see this bill. I think Minnesotans might expect him to veto this bill. He won't see it. So there's an awful lot of confusion here. This is our first part. I know we asked for special sessions. The Senate came forward and said, Governor, please, let's have special sessions. But I don't remember that it was about this bill. I'm thinking it's about bridge. I'm thinking it was about transportation. I'm thinking it was probably about the economy, not this. And now we want to constitutionalize for the state of Minnesota for all time that the poorest Minnesotans should subsidize these programs. No matter what the cost, no matter what the economy, we're going to make sure that they pay for these programs first, because we didn't have the will to put it in our budget when we were here at the Capitol. I think Minnesotans might be wondering, are we just working to help special interest groups here? I hope that if you're going to vote for this bill that you will defend that, that you will explain that this is not a special interest group bill. We're not funding special interest groups here. I sure hope that we will explain to Minnesotans so they don't accuse us of being like Nero who fiddled while Rome burns. There's important business for the state of Minnesota, and this should not be our first priority.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, members, I want to make a couple of comments that follow up on what Senator Bach and Senator Scoy said. I want to start by saying that it's not, I think those of us who are, I'll speak for myself, voting against the constitutional amendment, it's not because we're anti-arts or anti-outdoor heritage or anti-parks and trails or anti-clean water. It's a question of how we do it. And yes, we have lots of priorities here, and if this is the one, maybe it should be, but I'm not sure it should be, and if it should be, we ought to be voting on that here, using an excuse the governor would veto the money, so we'll do it this way. Well, the Constitution, I think Senator Scoy pointed out, it's meant for establishing our structure of government. We need it for that. We need it to protect rights. But this is a budget issue. It's an important budget issue, but it's not the right place to do it. It's not a question of it not being ideal policy. It's a question of being a terrible policy. And it's one we're going to be living with for 25 years. It's not just the Constitution. It's the bad tax policy, too, as Senator Bach pointed out. Some may think it's not a big deal. It's only 3/8 of a cent. If we do the transit half-cent sales tax, it's 7/8 of a cent. 7/8 of a cent may not be a big deal to many of us, but I've been one of 9 of members of the Senate who've been traveling around the state on the Commission to End Poverty, and we're seeing lots of people. Floodwood, Minnesota, people making $8 an hour, and they have to travel to Grand Rapids and probably spend half their money getting to work and back for an 8-hour day. And they're very, very, very low income. And pennies matter. So we're going to be passing
important programs. Again, I actually carried a bill. I carried the clean water bill a few years ago. I proposed paying for it with an income tax because we do have to pay for it. But we could pay for it with a fair tax. Senator Bach said about all we need to about what a progressive tax is and how this is a very regressive tax. But it's not only that we're putting it in the Constitution, it's that we're hitting a lot of people very low income, and if we did it through a fairer tax, it wouldn't be hitting them. They might maybe have a little bit more. But this is one that those pennies add up. And I strongly support the funding we would provide, but I think we have to do it in a reasonable way, the way the legislative process was set up. We're supposed to deal with the governor, pass something. If the governor vetoes it, and the public agrees with us on this, they can vote him out of office. That's the way the process is supposed to work. We don't duck and hide things in the Constitution so we can get around that. Not budget issues. This is important, and I know it's only 3/8 of a cent, and for us, that's not going to be a big dent for most of us, but there are an awful lot of Minnesotans, and our commission is supposed to be finding an end to poverty, and as I think Senator Bach pointed out, during this session, we're going to be making the poverty problem an awful lot worse, and this is just one step of that. So I recognize this is going to pass, probably by a solid margin, but I think we should keep those issues in mind because we as a legislature said we are seriously interested in ending poverty. This bill is actually going to make it worse.
Senator Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I rise to speak in support of this bill. And I have to start by responding to my good friends with whom I agree in large part on many of the statements that they've made, to say that I agree with you that the primary role of government, I believe, is to provide for those basics, transportation, education, and health care, and that those have to be our priorities as state government. But that does not mean that the other issues in this amendment are not priorities. But I am not supporting this because I think they're more important than education, transportation, and health care. But what I would say is that my friends who agree with me on this, I know Senator Marty, Senator Bach, and Senator Scoy, I know you all agree and have voted to support your belief that our state has not done the job in investing in those core areas that government needs to do. And I know you'd also agree with me that we're at a stalemate because of philosophical differences on those issues between the legislature and the governor. That's where we are, and that's just the reality that we're dealing with. However, that doesn't mean that we can give up and say we're going to let the environment, the clean water, and the natural parts of our world slip away, slip through our fingers, because we have some other political issues that we're having trouble making progress on. We just can't afford to wait. This is unfinished business from last session. So, again, to respond to Senator Ortman, this is not about putting something as a number one priority ahead of everything else. I don't think a green vote says that. I think a green vote says we didn't finish the job last year and we're going to finish what we started and we have a lot more work to do. I agree with you that this is not ideal. This is not a perfect way to fund anything. It wouldn't be my first choice. But I would say that it's necessary. It's not just the right thing to do, but it's absolutely necessary that we do that this at this time in our state's history. It's critical that we act. And the reason for that is that when we talk about clean water and we talk about our lakes and our rivers and our streams and our natural and our wild lands, they're not making any more of those. Once they're gone, they're not coming back. And so, despite the fact that we work on a 2-year budget cycle, on a 2- and 4-year election cycle, in this particular case, we have to look beyond the now, the here and now. We have to look into the future and make some very tough choices that are not perfect choices. We have to do it now. I don't like regressivity in our tax system any more than you do, Senator Marty and Senator Buck and Senator Skoy. I'm with you 100% on that issue. But I would also argue that 4 cents on a $10 paperback, a $10 lunch, if you want to go fishing, $10 for a six-pack of beer or some fishing lures or minnows, we're talking about 4 cents. Now, to some people, that's a lot of money. But to most people in Minnesota who treasure our outdoors, I think they're going to say that that's worth it. And so that's why I think today that we should vote yes. And by doing so, I believe that we'd give a great big Valentine to our children and to our grandchildren by voting for this legacy and by saying that we are willing to spend just a few cents to leave you a Minnesota that's as good and better than what we enjoy now. And that those things that we love about Minnesota that make life worth living here are worth spending a few cents on. That's what this is about. That's why I support this amendment. Despite the fact that it's not perfect or ideal, it's the right thing to do for ourselves, for our children, for our future generations, for our state. Thank you.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. President, members, this bill was first introduced in the Minnesota Senate 8 years ago. That's 9 legislative sessions ago. Over half the members of the Minnesota Senate are new since that time. There have been a lot of senators that have served in this chamber and worked very hard on this bill, on this constitutional amendment that you have before you. There are many ideas developed, discussed, many ways of funding these important programs. And what it comes down to is the consensus way of funding these programs is what you have before you today in this 3/8 increase of the sales tax. Now, my good friend Senator Bach, chair of the tax committee, said this is a very regressive tax. And I don't want to pick an argument with the chair of the tax committee on taxes. I am reluctant to go there, but I would like to point out to the members that if you talk about a broad-based sales tax, it is very regressive. However, in Minnesota, we do not impose a sales tax on prescription drugs. We do not impose a sales tax on food. We do not impose a sales tax on clothing. And with those exemptions, it becomes much less regressive than in some states where all of those items are taxed. Many of us worked very hard for a few years on the Clean Water Legacy Act. We had a broad committee of citizens who looked at ways to fund that estimated $80 to $100 million was going to be necessary to comply with our Federal Clean Water Act and to meet the expectation of our citizens that we would keep the water in our lakes and rivers clean. There were two or three ideas that were put into bill form and we discussed in committees. A tax on water hookups, a tax on sewer hookups, other suggestions. None of them made it out of committee. What has survived is what you have in this bill before you is a small increase in the sales tax to fund the Clean Water Legacy and to comply with the Federal Clean Water Act and to make sure that our waters are evaluated and where there are impairments to correct those impairments. as far as if this is a superfluous effort on issues or not, or whether it's an essential issue, I would point out to you respectfully that the first issue in this constitutional amendment, the first purpose, is to protect our drinking water sources for our own health, for our own health of our own communities. I don't think there's much more essential than clean and abundant drinking water. That's the thrust of this bill. And I think the citizens of Minnesota will agree with us. I think this is good for clean water. I think this bill is good for conservation and habitat and conserving our lands. There's increasing pressure on development and increasing pressure to shut off some of the traditional uses of lands that we've seen. And I also think it's very good for our cultural heritage, because this cultural heritage side will stimulate the creative side of our human brain. It's going to develop the creativity in our citizens and in our students. And I think it's that creativity that's going to spur economic development, that's going to spur the ideas, that'll spur the development that'll keep us as a leader in the United States and internationally, because we no longer compete just with other states, but all globally. And the one characteristics that cannot be emailed to a foreign land someplace to replicate and come back to us in a cheaper form is the creativity of our citizens. And I think we need to enhance and encourage that creativity, and that's what this cultural legacy part will do. When I started my remarks, we've been talking about this for 8 years, 9 legislative sessions. Members, I think it's time we vote on this, put it on the ballot this fall, bring this discussion out of this chamber, out of the Capitol, to the streets of Main Street, Minnesota, and let the citizens of Minnesota decide if this is how they would like to fund these programs, or if they want us to go back to the drawing board and figure out a different way of doing it.
Senator Pariseau.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, we have been fighting this battle for a long time. And one could actually say, before I place my vote yes here, and the reason I'll vote yes, they'll say, is because we're putting it to the people. It's a question of the people, to the people, to decide whether we should be able to do it. Before we decide to do that, think back on the process of how it got here in the first place. It went through many committees for many years, under many authors, with many ideas and legislators listening. And yet, at the same time, they never listened to the possibility that it could be done without a tax increase. That you could dedicate some money that's already flowing through the sales tax stream, even by targeting from where you receive it. Our own finance department and revenue department can tell us what we can expect to receive on any kind of a fund from any source today, tomorrow, 5 years, and 10 years from now, possibly, without changes in statute or constitution. But instead of thinking of that as a possibility and not increasing taxes, somewhere around here, every time you want to do something, you say we have to have a tax increase. I don't believe that's right. I don't think the people of the state of Minnesota believe that. They can see through shallow arguments. You would never take the model that was before you many times and hear one that did not have an increase in it, just understanding what expectation you can have from a given stream of revenue coming in so that you could spend it in the same field of endeavor that it came from. So I think we have a lot of shallow arguments here.
Next, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really appreciate the thoughtful discussion that we're having on the floor today on both sides of this issue. But it's kind of interesting to me that some of the comments that I'm hearing are an assumption that we are actually raising this tax and we're going to have these resources available to spend on these areas. How can we be so sure?
This is going to be brought to a vote of the people, and they will decide. The constitutional arguments, I think, have some merit. How well have our citizens been educated about the fact that we're a constitutional republic? We have a state constitution. If there are important principles in there that they believe that this action goes against, I suspect they're going to vote against it. We've heard about the challenging economic times. We're all well aware of that. If that's a critical area, people are going to vote against this. And I think we in this body, in this legislature, can have a great deal of impact on whether, in fact, the voters will support, express their values in the areas that this constitutional amendment represents, and will say, yes, it's important enough for us to change the Constitution and raise the taxes in order to achieve these important values because the legislature hasn't done it. But I would strongly suggest that if we pass and it becomes law, the next major bill that's coming before us in transportation funding and the tax increases that that involves, and any more beyond that, given the times that we are living in, do you really think that people are going to vote for this tax increase? I'd be greatly surprised. This is going to be an interesting test. It'll be an interesting test of values, both on the part of our citizenry, but it's going to be a test of our values if we think this is important enough that it would stand alone in terms of the potential tax increase that would face the citizens of this state by restraining ourselves from trying to increase this tax as well as others by our other actions. This will be a good test, and I'm looking forward to what our people might in fact decide, as well as what our actions will be.
Senator Limmer, I have next.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe Senator Pogemiller is the author of this bill, and I'd like to ask him a question. Would he yield?
He will yield, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, I was looking over the bill, and my attention was drawn to the actual question that's going to be asked of the voter. And I was just wondering, I'm sure I'll be getting some questions over the next year, what this proposal's all about. And if I get this question, could you give me some pointers on how to answer it? What does the word cultural heritage mean? That's a reference that's in this question to the voter, and I'm sure I'll be asked what that is. Could you give me a definition of what cultural heritage is as we commit funds to this particular reference?
Senator Pogemiller.
First, Senator Limmer, I wouldn't presume to give you advice on how to speak to your constituents, but I think it's pretty apparent what cultural heritage is. We deal with it all the time at our festivals throughout the state during the year. We deal with our arts. I think it's pretty apparent what cultural heritage is.
Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, I guess I'm just trying to get a little reference here. If this would pass in November, we're going to be dealing with that definition. Where do we put this money? What does it go to? I don't know if we have a specific reference to what cultural heritage is. Maybe that definition will change in the future. Maybe it'll become a rather large area that we'll split that money up into. And I'm just trying to get a reference of and guidance of where that money would go. Cultural heritage, like you had mentioned, might be a festival, might be a folk dance. It might be, is cultural heritage something to do with playing cards and dice in a coffee shop in northern Minnesota? I don't know what that means. Cultural heritage, does that have something to do with oh, I don't know, maybe swap meets, maybe a reference at the trades that go on in the fall regarding handmade goods. What is it? And I don't know if we have an adequate definition of what that is.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Limmer, I think the best way to think about it is culture is about our way of life. It's about the way we live. It's about the things we treasure. It's about our values. And I don't think Minnesotans are going to have a hard time at all thinking through what they believe that means. And perhaps you will still be in the legislature at the time that decisions are made about which type of cultural heritage is more important than a different type. And I trust your wisdom, Senator Limmer, as I trust the wisdom of the voters of Minnesota to understand what protecting our drinking water is, our prairies and forests, our game, fish, wildlife, and our arts and cultural heritage. I believe Minnesotans know. When I speak to various groups, I often speak to school groups. I think they've got a pretty sophisticated view of what our way of life is in Minnesota. And keep in mind, the whole focus here is to bring Minnesotans together, to unite Minnesotans around our way of life.
Thank you, Senator Pogemiller. And Mr. President, as I look at this particular bill, and since we have kind of a slush fund type definition of what cultural heritage means now, we don't have anything specific about that. It doesn't have a reference in the bill. It doesn't have a definition in it. It could be just about anything per the definition that we just received from the author of this particular bill. You know, I looked over what might be considered the flagship promo piece of this bill. Little handout, a circular. It's kind of funny. It talks about a November decision to be made. Create a legacy. Vote yes. Protect our lakes, land. And just as Senator Pogemiller said, our very way of life. It's almost got a Lake Wobegon feel to it. But you know, when you look at the reference in the bill, when you look at the exact question that's going to be facing the public, it's an 80-word referendum question. And there is only one word, the word arts, that would give the voter any indication of what a major portion of the funds would actually go to. Everything else is talking about every single reference to natural resources, parks, trails, woods, water, just about everything that would simply be referred to as outdoor resources. We've taken all of that reference, those 80 words, and talked 90% of the time about what that outdoor resource is. But cleverly written into this bill is just the little tiny four-letter word, arts. Some people believe that our environment should be protected. It should be enshrined in our state constitution as a dedicated funding for that particular reference, that priority. Some people have raised the question of whether the luxury of arts funding should even be in this bill. And then, of course, the other question is should it be dedicated out of our existing budget, or are we going to trigger another addition to our sales tax? You know, I looked over this reference on this little circular. Out of all the print that's on this little page, I bet there's close to 2,000 words on it. There's only one reference to arts. One reference. Now, there's three references, maybe even four, to that vague definition of what cultural heritage is. But arts. Arts is just referred in a little one-word reference. And I think exactly it's the very same pattern that's on that referendum question. It would have been nice to have had the arts referred to emboldened on that question so the public actually knows exactly what they're actually going to be voting on. You know, I've done a little background on our sales tax. As you know,
we have a 6.5% sales tax. This will increase it by 0.375%. Maybe you could round it for easy math up to 7%. But if you happen to be in Minneapolis, if you're going downtown, you'd have to add 0.5% on all your purchases. And then, of course, if you're in a hotel in Minneapolis, you'd have to add on 3% sales tax onto the 5% and onto the 3/8 tax if this would pass. Then, of course, you have the restaurant tax in Minneapolis of 3%. You have the liquor tax of 3%, all on the purchases made at those establishments. And then, of course, you have the 0.15% of the sales tax that most of you voted for the Twin Stadium that's being imposed on Hennepin County purchases without their permission. We just can't seem to help ourselves. I suppose maybe this is a little different. I'll give them that. We're going to allow the public to vote on this bill this coming November. The question that comes up is, are they really going to want to pay for more taxes and then kill this bill that has such noble goals? The goals of protecting our environment, to enhancing our gaming, enhancing our conservation resources, which should be our responsibility and prioritizing in our existing budget. And we haven't done that. We haven't taken a sizable priority on that budget. The question of this bill came up years ago. It was supposed to come out of our existing budget. And now we've decided to sidestep that. We certainly don't want to shrink the size of government. Heaven forbid that. But we're going to ask, we're going to throw a token to the sportsmen. We're going to tell them, yeah, we did it. We took care of you. We're going to give the public that right to vote. But we're going to allow them to raise the taxes and do the job that we refuse to do, and that's to prioritize conservation out of our existing budgets. You know, I listened to Senator Bach, and Senator Bach, I understand that, well, Senator Bach's not here, but I wanted to thank him. I listened carefully to his gubernatorial announcement speech earlier today, and he did make reference of why he opposed this bill. And that's a little bit of a regressive tax on the poor. And I would probably hand him that argument. That's a good argument. But nevertheless, I'm a sportsman. I love hunting. I love fishing. I wish we could dedicate funding. I wish we could dedicate it out of our policies. We don't seem to want to do that. We're going to give that reference to the public. But for one reason or another, we weren't going to do that either out of these bodies. So now we're just going to sidestep the whole thing and raise taxes even more. We're going to give the public that opportunity to vote for it. But quite honestly, in a time where we're experiencing fears of recession, downward turn in the economy, the housing industry, as you know, is hurting. I don't think anyone knows here, but 20% of all the jobs in Minnesota are relating to that downturned housing industry. And I just don't think families are going to look too keen on raising taxes on Minnesota for any purpose. They want to make sure that their finances and their security of their families are secure. That should be our focus, and we shouldn't be pushing a bill that's going to threaten and kill this bill in November because of this increased tax.
Chair recognizes Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I guess as we do our dissertations, I'll try to keep it short, even though I have an identity crisis after moving over to the left side versus being at the right side for the last 5 years, so I'm just not sure where I'm at here. I have a few issues with the bill, with the proposal, and not from the standpoint that these items don't need to be funded. I've spoken for 5 years that we need to have a clear new vision for Minnesota, that we need the people to speak loudly. But what I'm hearing doesn't sound that way. It says, well, let the people vote, but if these issues really need to be addressed, then why aren't they in our budget? Why don't we take care of drinking water? Why don't we take care of wastewater? Why don't we take care of the outdoors in our regular budget and redefine where we're heading? I think that's where we need to be. That's the message we want Minnesotans to send us, and that's the message, quite honestly, we as legislators need to step up. We need to redefine it before we send it out to the people to say, well, let's just raise it up, and this isn't important unless we get a new tax for it. We need to make it important because it is important now, and we don't have to wait for a new tax to fund it.
Chair recognizes Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Senator Pogamiller would yield.
Senator Pogamiller will yield.
Senator Pogamiller, on page 2, line 11, it says, the dedicated money under this section must supplement traditional sources of funding for these purposes and may not be used as a substitute. And I'm just wondering what the legislative intent on that is, because I'm concerned that as budgets tighten and we have to start trimming programs, would the programs that have always received a certain level of funding have to always continue to receive those in our general fund budget? And that would mean then that programs such as education and health care would have to take bigger cuts because these might be protected. And I'm concerned about potential lawsuits about this. What is our traditional funding source that we would need to protect? Would it be the highest level we've ever achieved for funding these programs, or would it be something else?
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, this is language that boilerplate's maybe a little lighter than it is, but it's an attempt to say that these are additional revenues that we want to put to these purposes. We don't intend that you go in and now take down fees and so forth that are being used for water programs and stuff. The idea here is that this is not supposed to be money that takes over general fund expenditures that we've historically made. It's meant to be over and above that money. And it is it's not a perfect science how that works. But it's meant to be language to future legislatures to the effect of, you know, don't use this money to do what you typically have been doing. This is meant to provide additional language for legacy activities that we were not doing because we didn't have the money.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you. On the issue then of if budgets are being cut, could we do across-the-board cuts that would include these programs that we are currently saying should not be supplanted with this money? That's one of my biggest concerns.
I think,
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, this language cannot lock in a future legislature. So if in its wisdom the legislature needs to make reductions for other reasons, a particular water program has become outdated or something, they can do that. This doesn't prevent that. So I think that needs to be viewed as an intent to describe for future legislatures the intent of this revenue, not so much to lock them in as to what they're doing with their current expenditures.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I also would like to pursue this with Senator Pogamiller. I think Senator Roebling has asked an important question. In fact, when we talked about this bill earlier, many of us believed that this language had been changed. And Senator Pogamiller, with all respect, the language that is in the bill doesn't conform with what you just described. What it says here is that you can't reduce those funds at all. And you say, well, the future legislature could do that, but not without repealing the law, or changing the law, or amending the law, unless we are just going to act in contrary to the law. The law here says you cannot reduce the funds. You can't use this tax to supplement existing funding. And Senator Roebling is exactly right. Whatever the budget is for these expenditures cannot ever be reduced if this is passed, unless we go back and change the law as it's written in this bill. And so, Senator Pogamiller, I don't think it's just a statement of intent. If we want to amend this and say it is our intent that these would not be used to reduce budgets, that's one thing. But when you put in the law that the money may not be used as a substitute, that to me is pretty clear. It says whatever that budget is today can never be reduced under any circumstance unless we change this law. And I think that's that, to me, is a very prohibitive kind of restriction to put on the action of the legislature going into the future. Now, we've heard a lot of discussion here today about various reasons why this bill should not be adopted, and from both sides, people on the Democrat side as well as Republican side, and I think there are very good arguments. I think we should remember that when we pass this, it's not just simply saying to the public, you get a chance to vote on this. It's being passed saying, we believe it's a good thing that you vote for this, and I'm reluctant to do that, and a lot of good reasons have been given here today, and I would recommend that we vote no, and I think this is a particularly egregious restriction on the power of the legislature to manage budgets in a time when we're looking at some very challenging economic times. So, members, I urge that this be voted down, that we send it back to the conference committee, perhaps, to change this language and make it something that is a little more acceptable to some of the objections that have been raised.
The chair recognizes Senator Satvir.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank the members for the debate on this issue, and I want to thank particularly Senator Pogemiller for your hard work on this bill. I think it definitely took the weight of the leaders of each House to make this monumental change, recognizing, of course, the many people that contributed to its content, Senator Anderson, Senator Cohen, Fredrickson, and others. And of course, we also should recognize the originator of this proposal, Senator Bob Lessard, who has been a champion of this proposal both in and out of the Senate. It's my understanding and belief that he also supports this conference committee report. I think he understands that proposals can take on many forms, but as long as they encompass the core beliefs and values of the proposal, it's worth supporting. And I don't believe that putting something in the Constitution compromises our core beliefs. Just the opposite. Putting things in our Constitution furthers our core beliefs. It enhances and reinforces what our core beliefs are. Why should this be a part of our Constitution? And I'm going to go into that in just a minute, but I just want to point out some curious provisions of our current Minnesota Constitution that I think would be interesting for members. In our Constitution, we have a tax on mining that is dedicated to the General Revenue Fund, and it is dedicated to support elementary and secondary schools, and dedicated to support the University of Minnesota. In our Constitution, we have a motor vehicle tax, a sales tax, mind you, that is dedicated to our roads. We also, curiously, we have a tax on aircraft. It's right here in our Constitution. Article 10, Section 5, that we will tax aircraft. We also tax taconite and other facilities for mining and in our Constitution. We, of course, also tax take our lottery proceeds and dedicate those proceeds. So we do a lot of taxation in our Constitution. Sales tax budgeting directed towards various purposes. So to say that this is a monumental change in the way we do things around here, I simply disagree with, because there are many examples that show that we already do this. If it is so against our core beliefs to have a sales tax in the Minnesota Constitution, don't we have a obligation to remove these provisions from the Constitution? I think the mere suggestion at that would abhor many people. But we do that. We do these things because we have core beliefs, core values in Minnesota
that our mining industry is important to jobs and is an important part of our history and, yes, by the way, our heritage. We do things because we tax motor vehicles because we believe that we have to have a sound transportation system, and we ought to dedicate those dollars within our Constitution. But most importantly, I think I would have to say that I pretty much agree with just about all that Senator Bach said. I really have to say I agree with what he said. And if, after 150 years, we created a progressive system with no regressive sales or property taxes that properly fund our natural resources, then I would say, let's not do this. Let's not do this. But the fact of the matter is that we have some really core beliefs, really core values here in Minnesota that we haven't been paying attention to. I direct your attention to the Minnesota Commemorative Quarter, the quarter that symbolizes to the rest of the country and coin collectors around the world what Minnesota stands for. We stand for the forests. We stand for the waters. We stand for the guy sitting in a boat fishing. That is our core belief and our core value. It is clear that there is nothing, after all of the debate on what should go on the Minnesota Commemorative Quarter, after all of that debate, nothing was more important than what we have to offer in Minnesota as we do with our natural resources. But the fact of the matter is that desperate times require desperate measures. And yeah, amending the Constitution is a big deal. And we have not taken this measure frivolously. It's been 10 years, by the way. Been 10 years. But more importantly, 40% of our state's lakes, rivers, and streams are unswimmable and unfishable. And they're probably so bad, we don't even care. We don't even care to study whether those same waters are actually drinkable. In my own district, it was just revealed Lake Johanna contains PFOSs per you know what I'm talking about. Chemicals that have been washed into our water system by stormwater and now are in our fish and are in our drinking water system. Now, if you ask the cleaning lady or the construction worker this coming fall whether they think that having clean water is an important value in Minnesota, I have a feeling they'll say yes. I have a feeling they'll say yes. And that it's worth at least the choice. Worth at least the choice of that cleaning lady and that construction worker to decide whether paying 0.375%, 4 cents on every $100 is worth having that clean drinking water. Because right now, we don't have clean drinking water in Minnesota. I found it really ironic about the debate on taxes that it's okay for the legislature to decide whether we should raise taxes, but it's not okay for Minnesotans to vote whether we should raise taxes. I think we have a primary responsibility here in the legislature to do that. But why is it not okay that Minnesotans have that choice? Right here, we're not voting for a tax increase. The debate here is not whether we should raise taxes. The debate here is whether we should allow Minnesotans
to raise taxes for that clean drinking water, for that wildlife habitat, for that cultural legacy. And we've been debating this for so long, not 10 years, but 150 years, about whether we should do that. I think it's finally time that we allow those people a chance to decide. You know what's regressive? The loss of our wetlands is regressive. It's regressive to have 40% of our lakes, streams, and rivers to be unswimmable and unfishable. That's regressive. We're moving way backward in our environment, in our natural resources. And I've never heard so many coulda, woulda, shouldas regarding our commitment to the natural resources. And I think that's probably the most telltale sign of the need to put this in our Minnesota Constitution. If only we had devoted our values to natural resources up till now, we could have done this here in the tax committee. We should have been doing this on our own. Well, coulda, shoulda, woulda. It hasn't been done. And the days while we sit here and debate whether we should put it on our on the ballot or not, the days of our ability to enjoy Minnesota's natural resources are dwindling. You know, I'm not going to have a problem if this ballot doesn't pass. I can afford a Canadian fly-in fishing trip. I can afford a trip to Disneyland. I can afford a night at the Guthrie or the Broadway. But it is those low-income citizens that rely on us to be stewards of our natural resources. They are the ones who, when they go on vacation, go to Itasca State Park to go camping. They're the ones who go fishing along the Mississippi River. They're the ones who go to the theaters in the park in their local communities. They're the ones who absolutely rely on us to be the stewards of our natural resources. I'm going to be fine either way. I'm going to continue to hunt and fish. I'm going to continue to go to our parks. I'm going to continue to work for wildlife habitat. But there are people out there who are not going to be able to enjoy our parks and our natural resources in the future because those days are dwindling. So just as we protect things in our Constitution that have not been protected in the past, any minority interest, we put things in the Constitution, protect them. We protect the freedom of speech. We protect discrimination. We protect so that we have equal voting rights, because people in the past have not had those protections. For the same reasons we have spent 150 years ignoring our natural resources. 1% of our budget to natural resources after 150 years. I think it's pretty clear that we here in the legislature are not going to be doing a whole lot more about it in the near future. And the discussion about this year again being bad timing to devote money to our natural resources proves the case. It proves the case that in good times or bad, our natural resources are going to be last in and first out. Last in and first out. That's why, no, we are not putting this in the Constitution because it's the most important thing to Minnesota, as you might think. But in reality, it has been the least important.
And so the things we find least important, but yet we still value, but in practicality have found least important, we put in the Constitution to protect. And on the timing issue, my last remarks, Mr. Chair, Senator Pogermiller. people have criticized the timing of this. I want to say that I don't think the timing on this vote could be any better. I don't think the timing on this vote could be any better. Yesterday, February 13th, marked the ninth anniversary of this measure's original introduction. 9 exact years that we are finally had the opportunity to pass this and put it on the ballot. But more importantly, I think that on our state's 150th birthday, 150 years of our statehood, if we can prove to Minnesota and Minnesotans can prove to the legislature that our natural resources are worth protecting in a big way, I think that's the best statement in terms of timing that we could ever make. I don't want to bicker about this for another 10 years. Golly, it's got 20% of this goes to our cultural heritage, and what does our cultural heritage mean? I don't want to bicker about that for another 10 years. I don't want to bicker about whether we should put this in our Constitution. It's obvious over the last 10 years that we don't think in this body that we should. And so I think this is the greatest opportunity we have had in ages to show that we have our core beliefs and core values, that our lakes, our 10,000 lakes, our headwaters of the Mississippi, our boundary waters, our habitat, our clean water is worth putting that investment. And most importantly, it's worth putting a vote to the people.
Chair recognizes Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, I do rise, as I have every time that this bill has been on the Senate floor, to oppose this amendment. And it's for me, it's a little conflicting. Not only do I support many of the endeavors that Senator Chaudhry just spoke of, and I do feel, as Mr. President, Senator Frederickson, as you said earlier, that there's nothing more important than clean drinking water. And many of us who have risen to object to this constitutional amendment, we do it on basis knowing where the resources are and where they are not. We do it for reasons because of equality and fairness in our tax system. I think Senator Bach, our chair of our tax committee, spoke very well on the point that sales tax is regressive. It does hit low-income families harder than most. On the other hand, you have, as in Senator Chaudhry spoke, a lot of low-income families don't have the opportunity to enjoy some of the resources that other people who are more affluent do, whether it's going to the play or going to visit one of our state parks or just going down to the river and throwing a fishing line in. But members, even though we all feel very strongly about safe and clean drinking water and making sure that our children have the opportunity to enjoy life as we have, there are other sections of people all across our state who, regardless of the outcome of this amendment, will not be able to enjoy the things that we have. I'm talking about a lot of veterans that have come back from Afghanistan
in Iraq that have closed head injuries, who are struggling. Their families are struggling to get by from one day to the next. These are people who volunteered to go and defend our nation. We have a Minneapolis Veterans Home that is, in my opinion, a state of disrepair. Not only the physical makeup of the building needs to be substantially upgraded, but the care that's offered to a lot of those veterans over there needs to be upgraded. We have a veterans home, and I'm proud to be one of the folks when I represented the Hastings area to make sure that the Hastings Veterans Home had a complete upgrade of its entire system, whether it was the air conditioning units or just getting the asbestos out of the building, whatever it was. We did it because we had a firm commitment for those veterans. Folks, today we're talking about a constitutional amendment for some things that are very important. But I ask you, does it rise to the level of making sure that our roads and bridges are safe? Does it rise to the level of making sure that our kids are educated or that our veterans are taken care of? As much as I believe in clean and safe drinking water, I say no, it doesn't. Now, these veterans made a huge commitment to our state and our country, and I feel that now we're turning our backs on them. Our educational system, once the pride of Minnesota, still right at the top of the pride that each of us feels, is slipping in national rankings. Our educational system is slipping. We can do better there. But folks, unless we have the political courage to stand up and say clean drinking water is important to 67 senators in the Minnesota Senate, and we are going to increase taxes to do it, then we shouldn't do this. We should not abdicate our responsibility as elected members to do what we feel is right on behalf of our constituents. I feel that clean drinking water is important. I feel that making sure that kids have a place to go and hunt and fish and recreate and go see a play is important, and I'm willing to raise taxes to do it. But I'm not willing to do it through the Constitution. Folks, we've abdicated our responsibility as elected members. Please vote no.
Further discussion on the bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2285, a bill for an act relating to constitutional amendments, proposing an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution, Article 11.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators have been voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes, 17 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we have a resolution to be read at the desk.
Senators Ortman and Marty introduced Senate Resolution Number 142, a Senate resolution relating to mileage, setting the miles traveled by members of the Senate in going to and returning from the Capitol. Be it resolved by the Senate of the State of Minnesota that Senate Resolution Number 17 relating to mileage, Senate Permanent Journal, pages 44 to 46, be amended as follows. Page 2, delete line 20 and insert Ortman, Julianne E., 49.
Senator Ortman moves the adoption of the resolution.
But I was looking. You need a motion?
Yes.
I would move the adoption of the resolution with regards to mileage.
On the Pogemiller motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. I believe we're on announcements of Senate interest. Senator Torres Ray, did you have an announcement?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to invite the members to an event that is taking place at the Rotunda right now. It's being organized by the Councils of Color, the Indian Affairs Council, and the Office of Ombudsperson for Families to strengthen our relationship with communities of color and to work together to address achievement gap issues and health disparities. I would very much appreciate if you could stop for a few minutes to talk with members of communities of color, different organizations that are working diligently to bring their voices and their support to different policy proposals that are being pursued to address these significant issues, particularly for children of color. Thank you.
Senator Scheid and Senator Moi. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee, we were planning to meet at 12:30. We're going to make it 1:30. If you need to get some lunch, just bring it to the room, please, and you can sit at the back table. But please be there by 1:30. Thank you.
Senator Moi.
Members, the St. Paul House and Senate delegation, along with the Capital City Partnership, would like to invite all of you to a welcome back to celebrate the 2008 legislative session. Copies of the invitation should have been mailed to your offices, but I've also have copies of it passed out on the floor. You and your staff and friends are all welcome to come. There is a telephone number to call to RSVP just so that we know how many people are going to be there. You can call that number or feel free to call my office. But I hope that you will make the time to come and also encourage you to invite your staff to come and be with us. Thank you.
Senator Murphy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, first I would just remind everybody it's Valentine's Day, and so I want to wish my bride a happy Valentine's Day. And everyone here, even Senator Day. So it's okay. Mr. President and members of the Transportation Committee, we will be meeting this afternoon promptly at 1:45. So go get something to eat, gas up your tanks, and let's pass a transportation bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. President, the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division is meeting as scheduled. We're going to start right away. Let's say 10 minutes. We have a very long list of bonding proposals to hear. So bring your lunch, and you can eat while you listen.
Further announcements, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members.
Wait, before that, without objection, Senator Saltzman, Senator Dill from today's session all day, Senator Erickson Ropes all day, and Senator Sharon at 12:10 on. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, February 18th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.